WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? And hey, happy Halloween. Yes, it is October 31st. Halloween is here already. I can't believe it, folks. Hopefully y'all are having a safe one. Don't eat too much candy, okay? But man, we have a great show in store for you to close out the month, okay? We have three guests. Yes, and when I mean jam-packed, I mean jam-packed. Three guests for you on today's show. We'll be chatting with Brent Sorg, the Williamston boys soccer coach, in just a second. Of course, Williamston eased its way into the state finals after beating Tawas 3-0 in the Division II semis to play for a state championship. We'll also invite Mike Cohan, prep sports writer for MLive.com, to give us a high school football playoff preview. 22 local area high schools in the area trying to make their state championship dreams come true. And we'll invite Brooks Lambeer, MSU men's and women's soccer beat writer for Impact Sports. And amongst all of that, we'll have a few talking points concerning some breaking news in the University of Michigan. If you haven't heard about it, well, we start the show talking about it right here. Here's our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, brought to you by the one, the only, Troy Jefferson.
Jefferson, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Michigan Athletic Director Dave Brandon is resigning and will not return next school year. A source told ESPN's Brett McMurphy. The university will hold a news conference Friday at 1:30 p.m. Connor Cook said on the Dan Patrick Show on Thursday morning that he intends to return to school for a senior season. Cook said on Thursday, "I've always talked about it with my parents and stuff. You want to use up your eligibility. Michigan State's a great place. I had a lot of fun here. I had a lot of great relationships. Never want to kiss stuff goodbye. I looked at it the same way as graduating high school." The Red Wings are back in action tonight against the Los Angeles Kings after defeating the Washington Capitals 4-2 on Wednesday night. Detroit is 5-2-2 on the season. The Detroit Pistons fell to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night 97-91 despite 24 points and 8 rebounds from Caron Butler. Andre Drummond also finished with a double-double with 11 points and 12 rebounds. DJ Augustine also had 20 points. Moving on to local soccer, Williamson is on to the state finals after beating Tawas Area 3-0 in the Division III semifinals Wednesday in Clare. The Hornets will face Hudsonville Unity Christian in the finals on Saturday at Brighton. East Lansing Trojans will play Cranbrook Kingswood to defend their Division II state title at Brighton on Saturday. Kickoff is set for 3 p.m. East Lansing defeated Mason 3-2 on Wednesday night. Number 2 Florida State rallies from a 21-0 deficit against number 25 Louisville to win their 24th straight. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who are already without Kevin Durant, will be without guard Russell Westbrook as well. He suffered a small fracture of the second metacarpal in his right hand Thursday night, Coach Scott Brooks said. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet at my pal Al, Al Martin, WKAR.
Hey, thanks a lot, Troy. Yes, I am your pal, Al, here behind the mic rocking out Current Sports for you to close out the week. It is Friday, folks. Happy Halloween. I love Halloween. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year. You get to dress up, be someone that you're not. You can just be not yourself. Don't you just want to be someone else sometimes and, you know, take off that cloth of just being you sometimes, you know, and be a Ninja Turtle or a Superman, Batman. It'd be really cool to be Batman, actually. But whatever you're being tonight, be safe. That's the main thing, okay? It's going to be a crazy night, especially those around the campus of Michigan State University. I always have flashbacks to when I was a student here, and Halloween was a crazy time. Let's just say that, okay? I had a lot of fun But if you're going out and having fun, you got to do it safely and responsibly, folks, okay? Eat a lot of candy, too. Eat a lot of candy. It's really the only time of the year where I just kind of just pig out on candy for at least a week or two. Hopefully that doesn't catch up with me later on down the line, but still, it's a fun time, a great, great holiday. But folks, again, we have a jam-packed show in store for you all. You know, we have three guests today. We've got Mike Cohan of MLive.com. He's going to give us a high school football playoff preview in just a second. That's going to be during our second segment of the show. Then later on in our third segment, we've got our soccer expert, our soccer current sports expert, Brooks Lambeer, who's the men's and women's MSU soccer team's beat writer for Impact Sports. He'll be talking about a pretty big rivalry matchup between the Spartans and Wolverines taking place this Sunday. Actually, the MSU men's soccer team's final home match of the year before we dive into playoffs in the postseason. So that should be an exciting chat. And before him, we'll have Brent Sork, who is the head coach of the Williamston boys soccer team, who will be playing for the Division III state championship tomorrow. That's fun stuff, folks. That is fun stuff. I'm going to get to him in just a sec. Now, Alex, first off, I mean, you heard in our headliners, this is big, big news. Big news that's really not surprising, though. We saw the writing on the wall coming. We've seen this be a culmination of just what has been a travesty of a season for the Michigan Wolverines, with what has taken the losses, you know, what's happened in the loss column for them, coupled with the Shane Morris situation, coupled with losing back-to-back years, the way they've lost to Michigan State, you know, it's just unbelievable. And Brady Hoke is another man on the hot seat, but Dave Brandon was also. And so much so that Dave Brandon has decided to resign from Michigan. Interesting stuff. Again, the university will actually be holding a news conference in less than 30 minutes, at 1:30 to be exact. The university will hold a news conference, and Dave Brandon will address the media as, again, he has decided to resign and not return next school year. Alex, are you really surprised at this, my man? I am surprised that it took place today.
Right. Yeah. No, not surprised at all, but definitely surprising mid-season. Who would have thought that also the resigning of Dave Brandon would come before the resigning or even firing of Brady Hoke? I mean, you look at the pyramid or how the blocks fall, you think it starts from the coach and then maybe the athletic director, because this isn't just football. Dave Brandon has gotten a lot of donors. There's been a lot of good things happening with Michigan athletics, a lot of renovations. So that for me is a little surprising. What do you think about that?
Well, I tell you what, I probably told this story 1,000 times now that it being Friday, seeing as though it took place on Saturday. I even talked about it on last night's Current Sports TV show with Graham Couch. But, you know, the story, you know, I'm sitting in the press conference. For those of you who don't know the story, I was sitting in the press conference room, like, with 3 minutes left in the Michigan and Michigan State game on Saturday. 3 minutes left on the clock. And, you know, I'm getting my report ready for the web. You know, I'm trying to figure out what I want to say on the air, and I'm looking at the game. And I'm the only one in the press conference room. The only one. And in the press conference room, you have multiple TVs posted up. You know, they have the game going, of course, on ESPN. That's where it was being broadcasted. And all of a sudden, you know, I hear this big sigh, you know, a sigh of breath like a And I look to my left, and lo and behold, it is Michigan Athletic Director Dave Brandon sitting right next to me. Not a happy man. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness, well, this is Dave Brandon. What a moment here. You know, I've never met the guy before. I want to at least introduce myself. So I turn to my left and introduce and say, hey, you know, my name is Al Martin. I'm a sports reporter here in Lansing, Michigan. How you doing, Dave? And I asked him, actually, how he was holding up. And he looked at me, gave me a stare, and said, these ones can be really tough. People can be so vicious sometimes. And I kind of give him a look, and, you know, we proceed to watched the final minutes of the game. Then eventually I went on the field and proceeded with my report. But, you know, it just shows you, looking at Dave and getting that small time of interaction between him and I mean, you could see just how this entire season has just been beating upon him. He looks like a beaten man. Brady Hoke does too, to be quite honest. Both of those individuals, I think, know, and Brandon knew, now at this point, seeing as though he's resigning, he knew that stuff was going to hit the fan sooner rather than later. So he decided to get out with some pride, I guess you could say, with some dignity when he still could and resigned, just to say, "Hey, I'm resigning. You know, this can't get much worse." And he decided to make that move. Eventually, Brady Hoke's going to be fired here. The writing has been on the wall. Basically, the writing has been on the wall concerning these two for quite a long time. So, you know, and I think when people look back at Dave Brandon's tenure with Michigan, it's certainly going to be tied to Brady Hoke. It's certainly going to be tied to how the 2014-15 season panned out for this team and how they just couldn't get it done. It's going to be tied to a lot of negative, connotations. So the target is still on the U of M program's back, not just the football program, but just athletics overall, I think now. Anytime you have your athletic director resigning, there's a huge target on how U of M is going to deal with this in the future. But, man, you know, I just didn't expect to wake up this morning and to look at my phone and to see Dave Brandon resigns on my screen. That's so crazy to me, folks. What do you think about it? Again, we'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And besides from our guests, you know, we like to have a lot of fun here on Current Sports. And since it's Halloween, you know, one of my favorite holidays. Alex, do you have a favorite Halloween story? You know, looking back when you were a kid and dressing up, do you have a story that jumps out at you about Halloween, about this holiday?
I don't, man, but
get out of here, really?
Yeah, I don't really have too
did
many.
Did you celebrate it? Did you celebrate
absolutely.
A lot?
Absolutely. Of course I'd go trick-or-treating.
What were you? What's your best costume?
This is pretty funny. One day, as a kid growing up, I was a huge sports fan, of course, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, throughout my childhood, I collected all these different types of hats from different sporting teams. So my dad would go on different trips. He'd pick up hats for me. So I had Louisville hats, Marshall hats,
right,
all different kinds of colleges, professional teams. So one day, I think it was like in fifth grade, I showed up to school, and I was a little bit taller than usual. Taller than the usual 5 foot, 5 foot
gotcha.
One.
Gotcha. Well, you're a tall guy in general, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and the reason for that, and this is fifth grade, so I was a lot shorter.
Right.
I was 6 feet because I had a pile of 15 to 20 hats all stacked upon each other. So I had this huge duct tape.
Oh, wow.
I taped down like 15 to 20 hats, and I just call myself a sports hat collector. So I just had all these different hats piled up.
So that was your costume?
That was my costume.
Just a sports hat collector. I guarantee. I've never heard that costume before. That's a pretty creative one.
That's the only original thing I can come up with. And wow. Usually one other costume I had actually in college, I had this purple and yellow just kind of jumpsuit, a little track jacket.
Okay.
And I had these purple and yellow shorts that matched with
it. What are you, Kobe Bryant?
So I just said I was Jack Nicholson, biggest Lakers fan.
I like that too. So, I dig that. Okay.
Those are my somewhat creative costumes. What about yourself?
Those are pretty fun costumes.
Yeah,
you
fun.
Know, I haven't dressed up now in 2 years. I'm kind of a lame now, man. But, you know, back in the day when I was in college, man, I was Tiger Woods 1 year. That was pretty fun. I wasn't Tiger Woods. I was Jack Nicklaus, actually. Yeah, I had my pants real high, the long socks, the golf shoes, the old school hat that my grandfather used to wear. Oh, that's a good costume. The year before that, kind of the same costume, to be honest with you. I was just an old man. I had like a beard and glasses. Fun stuff. Man, Halloween was a fun time, and it's certainly big here in East Lansing. Okay, I just walking around the area, I saw many people with costumes on, as many students. Again, folks, celebrate safely though. Gotta love Halloween. But in honor of Halloween, later on in the show, we'll be giving you our annual scariest athletes list, okay? You don't want to miss that, folks. Our scariest athletes list will be revealed later on, probably during the last 20 minutes of the show. So you don't want to miss that at all either. But again, folks, let's get to our first guest since we have such a packed show today. Now, again, I mean, we have two area high school teams from Mitt, Michigan, who will be competing for state championships in the world of boys soccer. How about that? That's fantastic stuff. Hats off to East Lansing High School and hats off to Williamston. Both of those teams will be competing for state championships tomorrow. Can you believe that? Now, you know, we have the honor and privilege of welcoming Brent Sorg, who is the Williamston boys soccer coach. Now, Williamston eased its way to the state finals after punishing Tiwaz area 3-0 in the Division III semis on Wednesday at Clare. The Hornets now will face Hudsonville Unity Christian in the finals on Saturday at Brighton. Brent Sorg, how you doing, Brent?
Good afternoon, Al. How are you?
Thanks. That's great. Hey, thanks a lot for taking the time to come on the show today. First off, congratulations, Brent. How you feeling, my man?
awesome. Enjoying every minute of this.
It is truly a remarkable accomplishment for you all. Now, you know, I want to go back in time because, you know, this is a pretty cool thing with you. The victory, you know, marks the second time in your 10 seasons as coach at Williamston that you have reached the state finals. Last time, of course, being in 2012. Now, what was that feeling like in 2012? And how bad has the itch been since then to get back to that same level?
Yeah, I think in 2012, no one really expected us to do it. You know, and it was sort of just, you know, we just kept winning and it just kind of took its own course. And it takes there's seven games from districts through to the finals. And that's sort of what we've always preached about, you know, that we refer to that as our second season. And can you come in and go 7-0? Well, that group in 2012 was a special group for sure. I think this group that we've got now, there are a few of those guys on our current team that were a part of that team in 2012. Mm-hmm. They have that experience, that edge. And so we know that certainly it's special to get there, but we want to win it.
Right. So now, I mean, going back to 2012, when you guys got there and, of course, lost, I mean, I'm sure, like you said, you still have kids in 2012 who experienced that loss, coming so close to accomplishing that state championship dream. I mean, now, again, as you just alluded to, the expectation isn't just to get there now. Getting there just isn't enough, right, Brent?
That is true. I mean, getting there is special, and it's the process and how you go about it. All I can tell you is that at the end of the day, I guarantee you that you're going to see 21 guys tomorrow that are going to give their best. And at the end of the day, that's all we can ask for.
That is certainly true. Now, Brent, you know, in that loss in 2012, I mean, when you walked into that locker room and talked to the kids, something that really stood out, because I was reading a report, actually, after you guys had, of course, made it to the state championship game, which, again, will be taking place tomorrow, folks. You told your team that you did not want them to forget how that moment felt. What's the response that you've gotten from those kids leading up to this moment?
Well, that's just it. There's a couple of guys, like I said, that were a part of that group, and they know they don't want to go out. They want to make history in this program, and they are really focused and determined. And I think there are, you know, the other guys that maybe weren't a part of it are definitely riding their coattails. They know, like, hey, it's important. I got six seniors that all know the importance of it, and just wanting to put on the best that they can.
You know, Brent, comparing this year's team to that one in 2012, I mean, did you kind of have a feeling that this team could possibly make a run and get back to the state championship? I mean, what made this year's team so special, and what makes it special, I should say?
Well, I think we have a lot of talented players, a lot of great kids, and they did the work during the off season. They came in. They know that we build a tough schedule. We played East Lansing, who was, of course, in the state championship. We lost to them twice this year, once in the regular season and then once in the cup. Mm-hmm. But I think what stands out to me is that when you build a tough schedule, and you know, I kind of steal the Tom Izzo approach of you got to play tough teams to get better.
Right.
And that's really what we've done all along, is like we've battled. We went against some tough in the CAC Cup, battled back against DeWitt in the final 90 seconds, scored two goals to tie the game and then win it in a shootout. And then a week later, we do the same thing against Okemos. You know, again, a perennial number one Division One school. Mm-hmm. So our kids just don't stop believing. They battle till the final whistle, and honestly, I'm honored and proud to coach these guys because they're a great group of kids.
Yeah, they certainly are, Brennan. You know, on that same Tom Izzo approach to things, I should say, you know, another aspect to that is that, of course, the MSU men's basketball team, they thrive, and a lot of Michigan State athletics, they thrive on having that chip on their shoulder. Now, you know, you had an interesting quote here about the 2012 team, and you kind of talked about it previously here, and you said, quote, honestly, there were some people that doubted the 2012 team and didn't think we were going to get there. We knew that we had it, but we had never experienced it. You talk about that experience, as you just talked about, Brent. Now, have many doubted that you guys would get there this year? And what's that response been like?
Well, we knew the road was going to be tough. You know, we faced some tough teams along the path, and we know that Saturday is going to be no different. Hudsonville Unity Christian has been ranked number one most of the season. Mm-hmm. They are a quality team that's well-coached. But you know what? When you look at our side of things, I think it's the same thing. I think you're going to see a great matchup Saturday. We played a very tough schedule, and we're going to give it our best. I can tell you that.
That's certainly true. The effort will be there. I already know that, Brent. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Williamston boys soccer team, Brent Sorg. And Brent, we actually have a caller that wants to ask you something here. We have Linda on line one. Linda, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Hi, Brent.
Hi, Linda.
Our son Luke played for Brent. He graduated high school in Williamston in 08. And Brent's doing a real good job of talking about how good the kids are. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to brag on Coach Sorg here for a bit.
Go ahead. Be my guest.
He just came in and took over a program. He handled the kids with some values that we really appreciated. He set a tone for the parents in the stand. He's just been outstanding here at Williamston, so he hasn't been blowing his horn too much. We wanted to blow it for him.
Well, I hear it loud and clear, Linda.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Good luck, Brent.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Brent, when you hear accounts like that from those in the community that know how much work and time and effort that you put in with these kids, I mean, what goes through your head when you hear comments like that?
I'm humbled. Honestly, I'm humbled by it. You don't go at this alone. You surround yourself with good people, great coaches. I've got four coaches on staff, two at the JV and two assistants to me. You know, when you talk about like cultures that breed success, and success to me isn't just measured, but it's just in wins and losses. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that and you surround yourself with good people and you have it just breeds that sort of that culture of that winning culture, that mindset of, you know, we're going to go at it the right way. We're going to give it our best. We're never going to quit. And these are values that honestly, you know, the young men, the soccer is important and we want to, you know, certainly we want to win, but it's that culture of some of these values that are going to take them further in life. And I think that's one of the resounding things that it's kind of been neat about us getting back there is hearing from all the alumni, the guys that have played for me in the past that say, you know, proud to be a part of it. We're going to be there with you in spirit, or we may even be making the trip. And those are things that you remember. And this different from 2012, because I think you just get caught up in the emotions of, you know, like focusing on what's the next day going to bring. Mm-hmm. this year I've been able to enjoy it more. It just is, you just sit back and you go, look at how wonderful the community is, how supportive they are, the parents. It's just been tremendous. My administration, you know, the players, of course, it just is phenomenal, the support. So
definitely,
I'm very blessed to be in Williamston.
And, you know, I always say sometimes you got to enjoy the ride, Brent. You know, sometimes, you know, I feel as though, and not even just your profession, in any profession sometimes if you're having success and you're good at what you do, enjoy the ride, you know, sit back and just reminisce a little bit. Now, for you, Brent, I mean, being such a, you know, with this program and yourself being such a staple in the Williamston community, what have you learned about yourself as a human being? Because as you just said, these are values that go beyond the X's and O's. These are values that you want to instill in your kids they can take on in the game of life. What have you learned being head coach personally?
Not to take myself so seriously. These guys have, they're a fun group. Sometimes we come in and we have expectations and, you know, we want to get down to business and be focused, and inevitably someone will crack a joke, and it just reminds you just keep things in check.
Right.
So, and I think that's an important piece, because again, the game and soccer and that's certainly an important piece, but it's just being around them and being able to influence these young men that has been certainly a special piece.
Now, you know what, Brent? This year has been such an amazing year for soccer in the Mid-Michigan community. I tell you what, you know, seeing Lansing United have the kind of success as Lansing's very first and only minor league soccer program in this area. See people pack the stands at the East Lansing Soccer Complex, game in and game out. Seeing the hoopla that was the World Cup, bars filled to the brim, people glued to their televisions. And now to have not one, but two teams competing for a state championship in high school boys soccer. I mean, how does this help the popularity of soccer in this area? And do you see it taking off in a different realm that it's never been before?
I do. I think that, a testament to, I heard that at the semifinal, East Lansing and Mason the other night at Holt, that there were probably 1,200 to 1,500 people there. I don't have accurate stats, but...
Yeah, crazy, yeah.
And that's not all Mason and East Lansing people. That's just soccer junkies, as I refer to them, because they love the game. They know they want to be a part of, you know, a special game. And it sounded like it had all the makings of that. Definitely. I think, you know, coming off of a World Cup year, you know, Lansing United, Michigan State doing so well, I think that's absolutely the quality of soccer is definitely raising in the area. Year in and year out, you see players in the Mid-Michigan area get recognized at the all-state level. Kids are going on and playing collegiately. It absolutely is having an impact.
Certainly. That is so true. And you can see it. I mean, again, having two teams now competing for a state championship, and I saw it all throughout the summer. It is truly remarkable. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on the show, we are talking with the head coach of the Williamston boys soccer team, Brent Sorg. Now, you know, really briefly, Brent, before I let you go off here, how have you been preparing your team for this matchup? And what kind of team is Hudsonville Unity Christian? How have you been prepping your team up?
Well, of course, we got a scouting report on them. We had someone watching their game, their semifinal game. They're a quality team, as I mentioned. You can look at their record. You can look at who they played. But honestly, I like the way we stack up against them. We have just reviewed a few minor details with respect to how we have to go about it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just takes one bounce. And, again, we were... unfortunate in 2012. Maybe the soccer gods will be with us tomorrow and let us bring home a state championship.
Well, I think many people will be praying to the soccer guys tonight and on the eve of that matchup, Brent. Now, for you, do you feel more nervous about this one or the one back in 2012?
Well, I think when you get there, if you're not, you don't have a little anxiety, a little nerves, you're not human.
Right.
And I'll remind the boys of that tomorrow. It's okay to have a little anxiety, but when you step out there and you look at the crowd, just look around and say, wow, we're playing in a state championship. There are 113 other schools in Division III that would love to be in your position. So enjoy it, and then let's go after it and give it our best.
Have you been racking your brain this whole week about this moment? And have you taken some time just to get away from it for a little bit, Brent?
Well, you can't get away from it. You know, you're ingrained in it. You're just, you know, it's my passion. But it really, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, we hope that we go out and give our all. Never quit. Get on the end of one. You know, again, it takes one bounce, and we know that we are going to give Hudsonville everything that they can handle.
Oh boy, it's going to be a fantastic matchup tomorrow, folks. For you know, for the folks out there listening, Brent, can you remind them where that match and what time that match is going to take place?
Yeah, Al, that was one thing I was going to correct you on earlier. The game tomorrow is at East Kentwood at Crestwood Middle School at noon.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I have here in my notes, Brighton. I don't know where that came from. Okay, well, there you have it, folks. Go on out, enjoy the game. I'm sure it's going to be packed to the brim, all right? Brent Sorg, high school head coach of the Williamston boys soccer team. Hey, Brent, from all of us here at Current Sports, we want to give you all the luck in the world, and hopefully you guys have a great outing, and we'll be talking about state championship on Monday, okay?
Al, thank you very much, and just a quick shout-out to East Lansing. Wish them and Nick Archer well as well.
Definitely. They have an outstanding squad as well. Brent, you take care, all right?
Thank you very much.
Gotta love that. Oh, boy. Not one, but two teams. I mean, soccer is in the air. Football is in the air, folks. But in just a sec, after our break, we'll be talking about football. Yes, football, the gridiron, okay? With MLive.com prep sports writer Mike Cohan. You don't want to miss that, folks. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Barton. Happy Halloween, folks. If that doesn't get you in the mood of Halloween, I don't know what will, okay? I want to remind you all, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, I sat down with sports columnist of the Lansing State Journal, Graham Couch. Yes, Graham was a fantastic guest last night as we talked about, of course, state gate, state hate, whatever you want to dub it. We dove into that. We talked about the college football playoff, how Graham got started in the sports reporting industry, and so much more. He even predicted that Dave Brandon wouldn't last this entire year. Well, I guess Graham hit that right on the head. Again, folks, breaking news if you haven't heard, Dave Brandon. He is now former Michigan athletic director as he decided to resign earlier today. And I believe the Michigan news conference is taking place right now. It is 1:33, so right now the university is holding a news conference addressing Dave Brandon, now former Michigan AD, stepping down. Oh, boy. Again, if you want to give your thoughts on that, our phone lines are open. They will be open this entire hour up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We just wrapped up a conversation with Brent Sorg, the Williamston High School boys soccer head coach, as they will be competing for a state championship tomorrow. That's great stuff. And now we talk about high school football, as many high school local area teams will be competing, trying to make their state championship dreams come true on the gridiron. And we welcome our high school football expert, is what I like to dub him, prep sports writer for MLive.com, Mike Cohan. Happy Halloween, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, same to you. This is actually my favorite holiday of the year.
It is. Why is that?
I don't know. I guess it kind of fits my personality, if anything.
Do you dress up? Do you go to Halloween parties every year?
Well, you know, I teach journalism and writing over at Lansing Community College.
Right.
And yesterday I went in dressed as a member of Run DMC.
Oh, no. Get out of here.
For my freshman writing course. Well, my freshman writing course, you know, a lot of students are fresh out of high school, so they're, you know, about 18, 19 years old. I walk in and two of my students kind of look at me and say, "Who are you dressed and supposed to be?" And I was thoroughly disappointed.
Oh no, they don't know who Run DMC is?
No, they're oh. Well, okay, not everybody. I mean, there are a couple of students who did know, but
okay.
I'm one of the guys. It was kind of funny. One of the guys goes, "I'm not helping. I'm not even helping. If you don't know, you don't know."
That's great. So what you had? You had the hat on, I'm assuming.
Yeah, black fedora, and then one of my cousins works in Hollywood, and She turned me on to a there's a shop that sells basically Hollywood props, like used props from movies and stuff. They buy them, you know, if a movie flops and it's not really worth anything, they gets usually stuff gets sold to the shop.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They buy it in bulk and then sell it off. And so I got a big gold chain that's made out of plastic.
You gotta have
for like
that.
$15.
Oh wow!
So I wore that, a black sweatshirt, black pants, and all white shoes, not Adidas, unfortunately.
I was about to say, you got to have the Adidas, Mike.
No,
oh,
dude.
Oh, man.
Go online and try to find all white Adidas for under $200. I dare you.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, you went the safe route then. You went the safe route,
so
Mike.
My K-Swiss. Oh.
Yeah, well, there you go. But still, people got the message, though, looking at the fedora and the black.
Oh, yeah.
That's great
yeah.
stuff. I'm sure it's on Facebook. I'm going to have to go stalk your Facebook page
later.
It is,
later. Yeah, actually it is.
See, we Facebook everything in society, right? I'm going to check later on. That's great stuff. All right. Well, Mike, I mean, this is such, you know, it's not only Halloween, a big night for people going out and celebrating the holiday, but it's a big night in the world of high school football. Mm-hmm. The opening night for playoffs here. I mean, now 22 local area high schools have made the high school football playoff. What are the games to watch tonight, Mike?
I think, well, one of the things about Mid-Michigan that's really weird, many of our schools get farmed out to other areas because you know, we're between Grand Rapids, Flint, and Kalamazoo and Battle Creek. Mm-hmm. Many of our teams are actually playing on the road this weekend. I'll be at the Sexton game. Sexton and Williamson, two local teams, playing one another.
That's at Sexton, right?
It is at Sexton.
Right.
And other than that, I mean, if you want to catch a game, you're probably going on the road. But, I mean, there are some other local games for sure, but that's one of the few that has two local teams playing each other at all.
Yeah, I mean, are there any other matchups that have local teams in the area playing at a local high school? Because other than Sexton, I mean, I really can't think of one off the top of my dome right now.
I mean, Fowler is hosting a game.
Okay.
I forget who they're playing off the top of my head.
Right.
But, yeah, for the most part, it's if you're a local team, you're probably playing somebody from outside the area, and you're also probably playing on the road.
Right.
It really shook out weird. You know, with the playoff points – with the way districts go, the teams are ranked, the four teams are ranked in order of playoff points. And of course, the ones that are one and two will host, and the teams that are third and fourth, you know, they'll play in four plays one, two plays, three plays at two.
Exactly.
And a lot of local schools fell into that 3-4 area and ended up getting shipped out of the area. And it's really weird. There's just not a whole lot going on around here this year. And that does not happen very often.
That doesn't happen often. And, yeah, you have all these alternative sites now because, I mean, you know, you got schools. I mean, sometimes you have to drive like 45 minutes to an hour to get to a game.
Yeah, take a look at the games that involve teams from northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula, northern Lower Peninsula and Upper Peninsula. And very many of those first and second round games will be at neutral sites because they are so far away from one another.
That is crazy stuff. But you'll be at the Sexton and Williamson game.
Yeah.
Williamson, of course, playing a Sexton team who has just been rolling all year. I mean, it's pretty safe to say that everyone's expecting Sexton to trounce Williamson in this one. But, you know, you never know. This is the college football play. I mean, the high school football playoff, mm-hmm. excuse me. And, you know, things can happen. But it's you know, Sexton has to be a heavy favorite in that one, right?
Yeah, Williamson has really stumbled to the end of the season. You know, they got blown out by Catholic, which obviously is a very strong team. But, mm-hmm. you know, 50 to, I think it was like 14 or 17. I mean, that's not a good showing. And then they lost again. And then last week they beat Lake Fenton by only a few points. And Lake Fenton, I think, finished like it was like 2-7, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, if Williamson, I mean, at 2-7, you expect a 2-7 team to roll over an opponent like that. And they didn't. Meanwhile, Sexton, they blew out Eastern, who I know struggled all season.
Right.
But they won by the better part of 60 points. And I mean, that's what you expect from a team that's that good.
Certainly, without a doubt. And yeah, Dan Bogan again. I mean, hey, we'll see. We talked last week about the three schools that we think will make their state championship dreams or have the best chance to make their state championship dreams come true. Mm-hmm. Sexton, DeWitt, Ithaca, those three. I mean, they're good every single year. So, I mean, again, do you think any teams got an unlucky draw looking at the selection show on Sunday night? Was there any teams that you said, oh, wow, I mean, my goodness. I mean, this team has had a decent year, but they're going against that powerhouse? I mean, do you think any teams got the short end of the stick?
If anything, Everett. Everett plays Flushing, and Flushing has had a good season. Kind of like Williamson, they've kind of They slowed down a little bit near the end. So, you know, if kind of like Williamson, if they can conjure up whatever made them so good early on, there's a chance that they might be able to win this. But I think even with, you know, with or without Lane Porter, I've not heard if he'll play this weekend, the senior quarterback from Everett.
Right.
But if, you know, I don't know if he plays or not makes much of a difference. I think Everett has a good chance to win this. But Flushing, if they somehow hit that switch again, they could be really good. I really expected Everett to host a first round game. They finished 7-2, which it's usually a coin toss, 7-2 if you're going to be a host. But they thought would have drawn someone different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, there were a few surprises when looking at that whole selection show across the board. Any teams that you think got an easy draw? And any that you think could go further than many are expecting, Kohan? Any sleepers in this whole playoff?
I think the two teams that will steamroll to a win this week, DeWitt and St. John's. I mean, DeWitt plays Tecumseh, and Tecumseh was one of those 5-4 qualifiers, so they played some tough competition, but you look at the scores, and it doesn't just scream, hey, we have a chance against DeWitt.
Right.
I know
right.
Jacob Johnson missed last week as well. He's been in and out this season.
I believe he'll be ready for the playoffs, right? He'll be ready for tonight, I think.
Yeah,
It's hard to
predict those kinds of things. I'll say even if he doesn't play, DeWitt has so much talent.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to. Meanwhile, St. John's has played really well, and they could do something. St. John's is actually the team that I think could surprise some people. They had a tough schedule going into the playoffs, and they could rise up. And I think regional final, state semifinals are well within reach. I don't know if they'd be able to get to the state finals. That's probably going to be something DeWitt would be more likely to be able to do. And they are in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a team that I think would have a chance of doing it.
Certainly. All right. Well, so people can expect your article tonight after the game, right? MLive.com?
Yeah. I'm not going to file down the street like I did last week, so it's going to be a little bit later.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that was a hop and a skip, right, last week?
Oh, it was unbelievable. And
Grand Ledge?
I had only been to one game at Grand Ledge in the last few years, and the traffic control was phenomenally. They just kind of dumped me right down the street that I live off of, and I was like, hey, I'm just going to head on home. It was really,
right.
really easy. Getting back from Sexton, probably about 11:15 at the latest.
Well, definitely catch it, folks. It's going to be – he does some outstanding work for MLive.com. Before we get you out of here, Mike, really quickly, looking at this whole Dave Brandon situation, again, if you haven't heard, folks, Dave Brandon has decided to resign as Michigan Athletic Director. That news is broken this morning. A press conference is going on right now as we speak in Ann Arbor to address the situation. What is your reaction about it, Mike?
I think this is coming late. And it's not so much the loss to Michigan State. It's not so much the way the team has played this year. When the whole scandal about the punter last year broke out, the alleged sexual assault, and the way the school handled it, I thought heads should have rolled. And when they didn't, I wondered if it was going to happen later for the same reasons. I don't know how much of Brandon leaving is involved with, the football program or other things. Obviously I have no clue.
I think there's a little politics involved in this, but that's a rant I'll save for next week. But yeah, definitely. I see where you're going.
But I'll tell you, you need to run a tight ship when you are an athletic director. And there were too many things, I think, spiraling out of control. And, if he's doing this on his own, if he chose to step down, I think he made probably the best choice that he could for himself. If he got pushed out the door, maybe the school made the best choice too. If there's one thing that I want Michigan to be a good place. I don't want it to be Michigan State. Obviously, I'm an alum and I love MSU. But one thing you do not want in your state is to have one of its two biggest universities be surrounded with negativity and scandal, and that's kind of been the case for a while now. As a Michigan State fan, I can kind of sit back and say, well, you know, it's Michigan. I don't like Michigan. But at the same time, I go, but...
But you want it to be a healthy rivalry.
Yeah, and you want the students there to be in a place that cares about them.
Yeah.
And... You know, it's been a bad situation there for a while.
It certainly has, folks. Again, you can call in and weigh in on it up until 2 o'clock. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. What do you think about the Dave Brandon resignation? Before we get out, real quick, it's Halloween, Mike. Who is your scariest athlete of all time? What athlete throughout your years of watching sports that you looked at and said, "Man, that is one scary, beastly person"? Who is that?
Well. If I had to go with someone who I think was just kind of a terrifying person, John Lynch, the safety, played most of his career for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I remember Lynch.
The reason is because he took out too many of his teammates. John Lynch was the king of friendly fire. Like the guy, I remember one season he injured two of his secondary mates. I think they were corners. I mean, maybe one was a linebacker. And I don't remember who, but he injured two guys in the span of like 4 weeks because he was trying to take out a receiver or a running back or someone who was carrying the ball.
Yeah.
And he just happened to, you know, smash into one of the guys on his team.
Oh boy.
I mean, he was a very scary guy.
Yeah. You see number one for you?
I don't know.
There's a lot to think about.
His name really jumped out at me because I thought, man, he was just kind of a...
That's not bad, though.
How about yourself?
For me, I'm going to save it until like the last minute of the show. I got three of them.
Okay.
I've given you one before we took the air at the break.
Yeah.
You already know who one of them is. That's number one on my list, by the way. So you'll get to hear my list right on the tail end of the show.
And I'll just tell everybody right now, when Al told me, I went, oh, that's good.
That's a good one. It's a good one, folks.
It was not the person I thought of first, but this person definitely trumps Lynch.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty
You know
scary.
Who else? Dick Butkus.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Was a scary guy, too.
He was.
Him and Jack Lambert. Jack Lambert, primarily because he was missing a tooth, so he had like that jack-o'-lantern smile to begin with. And he was just...
That's just a scary bad guy. No, those are two good picks as well. Those are very good picks. And folks, if you want to call in on that too, 517-355-9527. Just about 10 minutes left in the show. Hey, Mike, you do outstanding work, my man. We'll be looking for your Sexton and Williamson game on MLive.com. Check it out. It's going to be an interesting game, to say the least. Mike Koheim, prep sports writer for MLive.com. Mike, thanks a lot as always.
Yeah, thanks, Al.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll talk some MSU men's soccer with Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. About 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we've talked about on the show, 517-355-9527. We'll wrap up today's show by inviting our soccer expert. That's what I like to dub him as. MSU men's and women's soccer beat writer for Impact Sports, Brooks Lambeer, is in the house. How you doing, Brooks?
Good, Al. How are you?
I'm doing blessed. I can't complain, my man. Happy Halloween as well. You like Halloween? You're a big Halloween guy?
You know, not really. I'm not into
Get
the Halloween.
Here.
I'm
really?
More
Why
Christmas
not?
And Thanksgiving guy. You know, I probably about middle school, I decided I didn't really want to dress up anymore to go out and trick-or-treating. And
right.
I like going.
You were too old for that, huh?
I guess I like being myself. That's how I am. I don't know. It sounds corny and cheesy, but that's just how I am.
No, I feel you. Do you at least eat the candy and go on a candy binge?
Yeah.
Good stuff. You gotta love the candy, right? I'm a big Skittles guy. All right. Well, I tell you what, Brooks, the number 12 Michigan State men's soccer team will play Michigan for the Big Bear Trophy on Sunday, November 2nd, 1 p.m. The Senior Day match will broadcast live on the Big Ten Network. And for additional information about parking, you can see the game day guidelines on MSU's website. For those attending that one, again, you got to go out. It's the last home game for Michigan State men's soccer. Now, the Spartans are currently 9-3-4 on the season, are 3-1-2 in the Big Ten as they approach the final home match of the regular season. Brooks, what's your outlook about this game on Sunday?
Well, it's going to be the Derby, we call it the Mitten Derby, and we obviously you said you play for the Big Bear. It's going to be a good one. It's a Michigan team that has struggled this year. They've kind of been an enigma in the Big Ten, or just in, during the season. They have a lot of talent. They've beat, you know, they beat Notre Dame at home. They lose to an Akron team at home. They lose to Western Michigan at home, who Michigan State beat Akron and Western Michigan at home. So, no, it's been an up-and-down season for the Wolverines, but that doesn't mean it's a rivalry game. They're not going to come in and try to take that Big Bear trophy away from Michigan State.
Right.
You know, in this series, you know, the Big Bear started in 2000. Michigan State's had the Big Bear 10 times, and Michigan's only had it three. So
three times compared to 10?
Yes.
Oh, my. So Michigan State's has been laying down the hammer in the recent history of these two.
They have. They've been laying down the hammer, and you know, the all-time home record for Michigan State, they're 15-1-3, and their all-time 36-6 against Michigan. They own the Wolverines in soccer.
Man, well, I know Michigan State fans have to be good hearing this type of stuff. So with that being said, I mean, I'm always interested to dive into the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry when it, you know, expands beyond just your typical basketball or football matchup. In the world of soccer, how intense is this rivalry, Brooks?
This is a special rivalry because a lot of these guys that play club soccer at the youth level for, say, a Michigan Wolves or a Vardar, which are the two big club youth soccer club teams in the state, they all either go to Michigan or Michigan State or somewhere else, and they all know each other. So, you know, there's that little banter and chatter before the game. You look at a Michigan squad, they have a lot of kids that they have a couple guys that have played for the men's national team, the U-20 national team. Michigan State has two of them that played for the under 17 team. It's just a very good brand of soccer. Then we have kids from Michigan who are from England. And then, you know, obviously the U of M roster has people from the East and West Coast as well. And, you know, whereas Michigan State, we kind of have mostly Michigan. But it's in general, it's a good variety of soccer. Two very good soccer programs, and it's going to be down to the wire. Very rarely does this game usually really come, you know, as a runaway. There's been a couple scores here over the past years.
So it's usually close.
Usually really close by one or two goals.
So if I had to give you a prediction and put you on the spot here, I'm big on predictions, Brooks. I always put you on the spot, yes. But man. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, I like the way Michigan State's played. I think coming off the tie against Notre Dame, that's huge, especially in South Bend. They played with confidence when I was there in South Bend on Wednesday.
So you were actually out there at Notre Dame.
Yes, I went to South Bend to cover the game. Oh, it was great, too. But I think coming off that tie with Notre Dame, that's confidence for them. And, you know, finally playing well in South Bend. So I think on Sunday, you know, they won 2-0 last year. I think they can win 2-0 again.
There you go. So 2-0, that's Brooks Lambert's prediction, folks. Now, the MSU men's soccer team is currently in third place in the Big Ten standings behind Penn State and Ohio State. Has that been surprising for you, Brooks, looking at the season and looking at how last year was an Elite Eight team? Have they taken a step back at all?
No, I don't think they've taken a step back. I just think teams have been surprising. I don't think anyone thought Penn State, with how many players they lost, were going to be at the top of the table. Yeah, Penn State usually does win the regular season for Big Ten. But you know, I just think in general, you know, Ohio State has been a surprise. I don't think anyone thought Ohio State was going to be great, mm-hmm. but you know, they beat Michigan State at home. You know, they've taken care of some teams. You know, if you want to look at the outlook, Penn State's got to go Northwestern.
Right.
So they got to go at Northwestern, and that's their only Big Ten game left, and they're sitting on the table with 15 points.
How many games do they have left?
They have two games left, but one conference game.
One conference game. Okay.
So if Penn State wins, I think you can clearly say that Penn State's going to win the regular season.
Gotcha. So okay, I'm proceeding.
Ohio State's got two. They have at Maryland and at Michigan, which I think they can split that. Maybe they can probably beat Michigan, but I don't think they're going to beat Maryland at Maryland. So if Penn State loses, I think everyone else behind Michigan State, because they'll leave Penn State at 15. You know, you got 12. You'll have 15 for Ohio State because they can probably win one. The other teams have 10 or 11. So it's kind of open, fair game for everyone else in the Big Ten.
So now with the postseason approaching here, Brooks, how far do you think this Spartan team can get?
I think they can get back to the Elite Eight. I like the camaraderie of this team. I think they're strong together. They play well defensively. I think they need to find the goals again, like they did last year. They need to get hot. They've had a lot of opportunities, you know, off set pieces, off corner kicks, but they just couldn't finish, you know, out of all the times they've had. So they have to get a little better at that. But right. I don't see why they can't make it to an Elite Eight, depending on the path they have, or to maybe a Final Four in Cary, North Carolina. So
pretty still high expectations still. I mean, he's still got their eyes on the prize. I'm sure Damon Rensing will have his troops ready.
Yes.
Certainly, at least for Sunday, folks. That's going to be an interesting rivalry matchup. Now, really quickly, before I let you get out of here, Brooks, women's soccer is ranked 12th in the Big Ten Conference. What has gone wrong for that team?
I just don't think they have – it's the lack of experience. I, you know, when I watch them play or if I've watched them practice, I don't see the – and not to say none of them lack the integrity. I don't see that like I do in the men's team. I think they're a very solid team, mm-hmm. but I don't think they've found their identity yet. They're very good defensively. I think they're weak at the goalkeeper position, which you can't be in college soccer. I know Courtney Clem has been very good this year.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up, because Clem has been kind of their standout player.
She's been very good, but I think she's just not good. She's just not there to take that team, you know, to the Big Ten tournament, which, you know, they haven't been. You know, and it's not all her fault. It's, you know, it's the team and how they've played. But, no, next year I think they're looking at a positive with Jamie Cheslick being the goal scorer she was this year, and they return, you know, three of their back line of the four. And, you know, I think they're going to be good in the midfield. I think next year is when they're going to be dangerous and they're the team that you're going to watch out for.
Well, I'm sure it's a season that they are learning from, a learning transition game by game for them. All right, Brooks, before we let you get out of here, how can people follow your work? When can they expect your report on the Michigan and Michigan State men's soccer game on Sunday?
Oh, well, it should be not too long after the game. So it's 1 p.m., so the game's at 3. So I'll probably have it up probably by 5 or 6 on Sunday.
Gotcha. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
ImpactSports.com, or is it Impact89 or?
Impact89FM.org/sports.
There you go. Check it out, folks. Brooks does some outstanding work. Brooks, it's Halloween. Who is your scariest athlete of all time?
Are we going player I wouldn't want to play against, or just?
Either one. No holds barred. Any criteria you want. But what is the athlete? When you look at it, like, oh, you got to get, you know.
Okay, well, I'll give you two. I'll give you one for soccer, and I'll give you another sport. So soccer, one player I would never want to play against is probably Lionel Messi, because
the guy's
a trickster and he's very good. He can score any goal.
Best in the world, right?
Best in the world.
Gotcha.
And then if I'm going to go other athlete, it's a tie between Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson, because the fury they ran with, you know, when I've watched the 30 for 30s, never would want to play football, never would want to play a linebacker defensive line against them, because they'll run you over.
They will run you over.
Yes.
There you have it. Brooks Lambeer, men's and women's soccer beat reporter for Impact Sports. Brooks, always a pleasure, man.
Thanks, Al. I appreciate it.
Appreciate that. All right, Alex, we have 3 minutes left in the show. I want to get your list. Who are or is your scariest athlete of all time?
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to ask Brooks, how about Balotelli? That guy is intimidating, man. Like, looking at Mario Balotelli.
Yeah. Mario. Yeah, Mario's just a goof, though, because I don't know if he's intimidating. He's just a real goof because of his personality.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. He's a funny guy.
He's not real scary. He's funny. Yeah.
So I'll give you like an intimidating one, and then a looks wise, which I actually talked to Al about before we went on. But looks wise, Sam Cassell, man, the guy just looks like an alien. You know, he just is ready for Halloween already. There's nothing you could say about it. And
my friend Carl, if he's listening right now, he's got the flu and he usually tunes in. He's a big Sam Cassell guy too, and he feels though Sam Cassell looks like E.T. We're ragging on Sam today. Sorry, Sam.
Oh, not ragging. Yeah. It's just what he looks like. You know? And then intimidating wise, Bill Romanowski, man, that guy so intimidating.
Yeah, that's true.
Former Oakland Raider linebacker, spitting on players, tackles hard.
Right.
I don't want to see him one-on-one in a saloon type style situation. You know,
gotcha.
An out western movie one-on-one. Yeah.
All right.
I want to do that.
So is Sam number one and he's number two?
Yeah. Let's do
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. For me, I'll be real brief here. With a minute left in the show. Mike Tyson, scariest athlete of all time to me. Mike used to just just knock folks out. I mean, he would literally have his opponent scared before the match even started. Mike Tyson. Number two, Lawrence Taylor, LT, such a force on the field. Three, Brock Lesnar, just a mammoth of a man. Four, how can you forget Ronnie Lott? Ronnie Lott was just, oh. And Randy Johnson, number five for me. Randy Johnson was a scary man to bat against. Oh, he's great. Great stuff. Well, hey, we are out of time on today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Halloween. Have a fantastic weekend. And be easy, people.